Hey, comic book fans everywhere. This is Kathy Lee Crosby, TV's original live-action Wonder Woman. You're listening to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life.
Hello out there, my fellow fans of graphic novels, games, and everything geek. Welcome to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I'm your host, Joe Stuber, coming to you from the super secret Comic Book Central lair with interviews galore from the legendary talents who bring our favorite comic book characters to life on the big screen, the small screen, and beyond. Hope you've had a great week. Thank you so much for spending some time in the lair with me today. Always fun to see new listeners downloading the show. We've got those new likes on the Facebook page, new followers on Twitter. And as I record this, Comic Book Central has now been heard in 100 countries. Ah, that blows my mind. Thank you so much to each and every one of you listening out there. Thank you so much for sharing the show on Facebook, the posts, those who are retweeting the links when I put them on Twitter, every time a new episode premieres. When you do that, you're adding to the success and the reach of the show. I am truly appreciative. My goodness. Without you folks out there listening each and every week, it's pretty much just me talking to myself, so not that I haven't done that before, but this is certainly a lot more fun when you guys are tuning in and listening, so thank you so much for that. That's unbelievable. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome to the show. Feel free to check out the past episodes of Comic Book Central. There's a bunch of them out there. If you haven't heard them, they're new to you. Feel free to binge listen to the show during your travels. Hey, if you're going off and abroad this summer, spend summer with the superheroes. Of course, each and every episode is available on the website. It's comicbookcentral.net. On the website, there are links to subscribe to the show on iTunes, where you can leave a review if you like what you're hearing. I appreciate that. You can follow us on Twitter at comicbookctrl and give us a like on Facebook. It's facebook.com/comicbookcentralnetwork, posting some really cool stuff up there, some different videos, clips, pictures, cool stuff. Check it out. Again, thank you so much for sharing the lair, folks. 100 countries right now. Unbelievable. Thank you very much. Comic Book Central Nation continues to grow thanks to your help. If you haven't clicked share or retweeted this episode yet, you're probably going to want to do so shortly. Today's episode is definitely one you're going to want to share. My guest today, she made television history by becoming the first actress to portray Wonder Woman in a live-action movie. Check this out. Learn a little bit more about her and the film. I'm going to be right back to chat with the lovely and talented Kathy Lee Crosby. In 1966, ABC Television had a mega hit on their hands with the campy pop art live-action version of Batman starring Adam West. The following year, executive producer and Batman narrator William Dozier thought the same treatment might work for DC's female heavy hitter, Wonder Woman, and he commissioned a script to bring the Amazonian princess to life in her first live-action series. The script, strangely titled Who's Afraid of Diana Prince, was written by Stan Hart and Larry Siegel, and even stranger, a 4-minute, 45-second section of the script was shot as a pilot, not the full thing. If you don't believe me, you can check it out on YouTube. It's pretty easy to see why this was not picked up as a series. Ellie Woodwalker plays Diana Prince. Planet of the Apes Nova, Linda Harrison, plays Wonder Woman in a mirror image. It's very strange. Diana's mom nags her to eat right and get a husband, and Dozier narrates the whole mess.
Wonder Woman, who knows she has the strength of Hercules, who knows she has the wisdom of Athena, who knows she has the speed of Mercury, and who thinks she has the beauty of Aphrodite.
In 1968, DC Comics decided to take the character in a completely different direction, promising in one ad that a really big change is coming to Wonder Woman, and they were not kidding with that. In Wonder Woman issue 178, dated October 1968, writer Denny O'Neill and artists Mike Sikowski and Dick Giordano stripped Diana of her powers and her red, white, and blue costume, put her in some hip, swinging outfits, gave her some wicked martial arts moves, and unleashed the new mod Wonder Woman on comic book readers everywhere. Now, while the more recognizable version of the character was flying high in her invisible jet on Saturday morning TV in the cartoon Super Friends, ABC still wanted a live-action version for primetime audiences, and a TV movie was ordered as a pilot for a potential series. This flick would follow the powered-down version of Diana, complete with a mod costume. No secret identity, just secret agent. Or as secret as a karate-chopping blonde bombshell could be. Think female James Bond, or a superhero version of the Avengers' Emma Peel. Since this version of Wonder Woman would focus on athleticism over superpowers, the call went out for an athletic actress with the acting skills to match. They found their Wonder Woman in Kathy Lee Crosby. Kathy Lee, a former tennis pro, was already gaining attention for her acting from TV guest spots on Marcus Welby MD, Emergency, Barnaby Jones, Cannon, as well as the gritty feature film The Laughing Policeman, starring Walter Matthau. In 1974, Kathy Lee landed the coveted role of Diana Prince, aka Wonder Woman, for the TV movie. In the film, Agent Steve Trevor's assistant, Wonder Woman, is hot on the trail of the evil Abner Smith, played by the ultra-suave Ricardo Montalban. Abner's stolen information that could reveal the identities of U.S. government agents. There's multicolored mud traps, a ninja-style throwdown with a traitorous Amazon, a motorcycle chase, and airborne donkeys along for the ride. This radically different version does get points for taking chances, but it did not get picked up as a series. And that would be the next attempt in 1975. But that didn't stop Kathy Lee, who continued to showcase her athleticism on shows like Circus of the Stars and Battle of the Network Stars, her chemistry on the smash hit reality show That's Incredible, and her acting ability on numerous TV shows and movies. Now, my guest today went from being a professional athlete to participating in some Olympic-sized events with some other Hollywood heavyweights on Battle of the Network Stars. In between, she secured a place in Wonder Woman lore by becoming the first actress to appear as the Amazonian princess in a live-action movie. She is currently the founder and CEO of the appropriately named CLC Entertainment Studios. A big welcome to Kathy Lee Crosby. Kathy Lee, welcome to Comic Book Central.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. This is a hoot.
This is a hoot for me. This is look, I'm a child of the 70s. This is awesome. I watched you in everything.
Thank you.
I got to turn fanboy brain off for a second. Hold on. I got to go into full interview mode here. Okay. I mentioned professional athlete, tennis, of course. You were a professional tennis player. How young were you when you first picked up a tennis racket?
I was really old for playing tennis. I started at 12, and I was touring by 12 and a half. So that was a pretty fast thing. I picked up a racket and knew I could play. Most people start around 7 or 8.
Within 6 months of picking it up, you were playing tennis? Wow.
I was playing tournaments. That's true.
Okay, at 12 years old, what sparked you know, parents interested in it? Did you see something on television? What sparked your interest in tennis?
Nope. My parents were playing tennis at a club, and we were there, my sister and I, and we were bothering them, I guess, so they stuck us in a group tennis lesson. And being the competitive soul that I am, there was a prize for the person who got the most tennis balls over the net. Now, this prize was only a can of tennis balls, but that didn't matter.
To a 12-year-old,
it was a chance to get my competitive fire going, and I did, and I kept hitting him and hitting him until finally the teacher said, "Okay, you can stop now." Okay, you can stop now. Okay,
you had never picked up a racket. I mean, this was like something new to you.
No, never picked up a racket.
Oh, that's
in my
crazy!
Life.
Look, I played tennis. I mean, I've picked up a racket. It is like the toughest. That and golf are like the toughest games. Yes. You have to remember like 17 things all at once. How do you, so you just had a natural ability at it then?
It's just sometimes, you know, I'm sure it's the same with piano players that start at an early age and they just sit down and they can do it. I don't know. It's a God-given talent, I guess.
Wow.
It's just something I could do, and I loved it. I knew I could do it instantly.
That's amazing. Yeah. Favorite player when you were in your formative years? Did you? Who was your favorite player?
Well, it's my favorite players are the players of today. Believe it or not, my favorite player of all time is probably Roger Federer. From the older guys, who was a lot older than I was, I love the Rocket, Rod Laver.
Rod Laver.
And right. And I liked them because they were students of the game. They really knew how to play the game of tennis, not just hit the ball. They were strategists, and so is Roger Federer, and I really admire that.
Yeah, because even look, Jimmy Connors, John McEnroe, those are my favorites. But I mean, these guys were playing like you with the wooden rackets, and there was a finesse to it. Like you had to, there was strategy. You couldn't just power your way through it like you can with a lot of things today. You had to play tennis.
Oh my gosh! Yep. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever play against one of your idol, like somebody you admired, and then all of a sudden you're on the court opposite them?
Well, definitely, you know, with Jimmy Connor and stuff like that, and John McEnroe and things like that. So, of course.
You got to play tennis with them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And Chrissy Evert.
Oh.
amazing player, amazing person, amazing player.
Wow.
And I even played with the Williams sisters when they were really, really young. So
wow.
My mother had a tennis clinic, yeah.
You are so hardcore tennis.
Oh, I love tennis. Yeah, tennis is my thing.
Wow, you've hit just about every generation there. Well, that's amazing. Can you still fire it off there? Can you still fire a serve?
Of course I do.
Nice.
I play all the time, yeah.
You're Wonder Woman. Of course you can, right? That was a stupid question.
Well, my favorite partner right now is, I don't know if you know the Armitage brothers, but Vijay and Ashok, and I like to play with them a lot.
Nice. Well, I'm glad to see you're still keeping the game up. Now, was it because of the small career window for athletes that you started to think of plan B? Like, what do I do when I'm not playing tennis?
Oh, not at all.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out, like, how you got into acting. How do you go from tennis to acting?
Well, I basically was at USC, and I was a pre-med grad. And then I got married, and that's a very funny story. And when I got divorced, my divorce.
It doesn't sound like it's getting funny here. Where's the funny part?
No, it is. It's really funny because, I mean, the divorce isn't funny, but the situation of how I got into acting, my divorce lawyer said, you have to get out. You have to stop crying. So he took me to this Man of the Year award in the entertainment business. And I'd never been in the entertainment business at all. I'd modeled and everything like that, but never, you know, done this. And literally an agent came up and said, you should be in the business. And I thought he was full of it. So I said, here's my attorney. Give him your card.
Smart. So, very smart move.
And then that's how what led to my first movie.
Okay. Well, your father had appeared in commercials and things, right? And he was a radio announcer?
Well, he's a radio announcer. He started out with Lum and Abner, which some people, I don't know, would know, but it was a really big following out of Mena, Arkansas, and they still have the Jot 'em Down store there and everything. So it was a pretty interesting thing. And then he became not only an announcer, but he wrote commercials like Put a Dodge in Your Garage and things like that. He wrote them and also voiced them. He was known for his voice. He had a great voice.
Oh, wow. Okay. And, man, just knocking it out.
I was an actress, so.
Yeah. Knocking it out of the park with your first role. Was Kay Butler and The Laughing Policeman?
And actually, I did a movie that has not been released yet, ever. And it was
like from back in the day?
Show. Yes. Yes.
What is it?
And nobody, it's not on the internet, and I'm not going to tell anybody because...
The mystery.
But it was from a Broadway show, and amazing.
This is one we can see, right? This isn't like some kind of underground.
Okay. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, and, the one that I'm...
Major studio and everything, yeah.
Is it ever going to be released?
I don't know. That would be funny. I don't know.
Okay.
It's a very provocative, very... interesting, very timely subject that was very, very interesting. Anyway,
okay, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. You'll let us know here at Comic Book Central if this thing comes out, because we'll certainly announce it here. The one I know about, or at least, look, I've not seen it yet, but it's got The Laughing Policeman, 1973. Look at this cast. Walter Matthau, Bruce Dern, Louis Gossett Jr. Yep. Man, how do you, this is, you're in the big leagues here right off the bat. Now, look, I said I've never seen it, but I saw the trailer in prepping for this interview. This thing looks amazing. I've not seen Walter Matthau like this.
It was a really good movie. It was based on a best-selling book, and the director was amazing. And there was a very funny story, actually, leading up to that part. It was my first, you know, big feature film interview. And I had been with the casting director, and I had read for her, but I had waited an hour and a half even for her. So in the tennis circles, you just don't do this to people. So by the time I got into her, I was so mad. And I said, you know, this is rude. And
you said
something
that?
About that. Yes, I did.
Oh.
But I said it kindly. I just couldn't believe that someone would do that, leave someone sitting. And 8 pages of dialogue I had to memorize. And she said, oh, well, you're not right for this part. And I'm like, but I think you'd be right for another part. And so she said, I'd like you to go up and meet the director now, which was Stuart Rosenberg. And so I said, fine, you know. So I go up there, and I wait another hour and a half.
Oh.
And I walk in the door, and I don't even get through the doorway. And he says, you're 100% the opposite of what I want for this part. And I just let him have it. I said, you kept me waiting an hour and a half here doing this, and all you had to do was, you know, look at me and know, and you don't even talk to me or anything. I can't believe this business, right? So, and he said, wait a minute. And after I got mad, he said, wait a minute. I'd like you to stay. If you please accept my apology. Well, that led to me getting the job, but it was interesting. And I had to be on 24-hour homicide call during the filming of that, which was horrendous.
Okay, so for the preps then for this movie, I mean, basically, this is, you know, Walter Matthau is a police detective. I was going through,
right.
And you're his wife?
No. I'm someone that he likes.
Okay.
It wasn't a girlfriend, but that he had a crush on or whatever. But then I become suspicious. Am I the one who did the killing?
Okay, don't tell me. I don't want to know because I haven't seen it yet. I'll be
honest. Oh,
don't tell me. I have not seen it yet. I saw the trailer. I'm like, whoa, this looks amazing.
Yeah, it's actually a wonderful movie.
Okay.
It's a wonderful movie.
Oh, that's amazing how you got that role then. So just that anger. Well, there's some method acting for you right there.
Yeah, method that wasn't intended.
Before
I knew that there was such a thing called a method.
It's the serendipity / method acting. So
exactly.
Oh, that's
exactly.
Amazing. Well, look, I got to see The Laughing Policeman now. This looks pretty good. Now, look, before we get to Wonder Woman, I want to talk about some reality shows. Before there were like reality shows on every channel, everything going on. You combined your athleticism and your amazing on-camera personality in two of the coolest TV gigs of the 70s, Circus of the Stars and Battle of the Network Stars. You could not do these shows today, could you?
I don't think for liability or lots of reasons.
Right.
It was after Wonder Woman, of course.
Right.
But when I did the movies, it was the late 70s, it was... You know, you don't have the choice when you're just beginning to just, you know, or at least I didn't feel I had the choice. I was new to the business, and so I just sort of took whatever was offered me. And when it was like Circus of the Stars, I thought, what a cool thing to do because I'm an adventurer at heart. So I thought, this is great. And it led to doing a lot of acts, not only trapeze, but we did a thing on a wheel of death and 50 feet in the air and, you know, obnoxious things like that.
And then the motorcycle stunt with Perry King.
That was pretty intense and pretty crazy as well.
Okay,
yes.
So if people haven't seen this, look, I grew up in the 70s. I was obsessed with these things. They strap you into this, whatever it is, this you know, they handcuff you in this thing. And then Perry King... So he said, it looks amazing in this thing. He's got this Evel Knievel thing going, and he's basically going to run right through you.
Mm-hmm.
with a motorcycle. And I love that they say in there, that's not a stuntman. That's actually Perry King on the motorcycle. Who cares Perry King's on the motorcycle? Kathleen Crosby's going to get hit with a motorcycle.
Yeah, I did like, that. I did the world's greatest stuntman with Dar Robinson and some crazy, crazy, crazy things. I stood on the outside of the tallest building in the world at that time. It was in Canada.
Did you actually do that?
Oh, yeah. I have this thing. I love adventure, so I love risk and things like that. So when someone offered me that, and the reason I did Battle of the Network Stars is the first time that I did it, I thought that our team was pathetic. So they asked me to do it again, and I said, only if you'll let me be captain. They never had a woman captain before. They said, all right, you can be captain. So I got a trainer out there, and I took my team like a month before we were shooting this
show.
Okay,
so you guys were hardcore on that. See, I always wonder, like, when you're watching these things, it's like, are they just showing up, like, day of, and it's just like they're goofing, you know?
Oh, no.
You guys, like, really invested in it. And these – look, for people who haven't seen this or don't know what this is, these are the biggest television stars of the – imagine, like, Nathan Fillion and Stephen Amell and, like, all these guys – doing like Olympic events. It's crazy to even think of that. You guys were the biggest television stars of the day.
Well, thank you for that. It was an amazing experience, and as I say, being competitive, the fact that no woman had ever done it, I thought, you know, let's do it. And we had the longest on record. It came down to a tug of war, and so we had this.
I was going to ask you about the tug of war.
Disaster in the sand that was never to be repeated. Sand was everywhere. Your mouth, your eyes, everywhere you could imagine. And after 14 minutes, you just don't care. You just don't care. It was horrible, but we ended up winning, and it was a great thing. And I think that was the end of my Battle of the Network Stars career.
Yeah, they always end up in the tug of war. Like, everything always goes to the tug of war.
Because even though we were ahead by 125 points, you have to be 150 points
ahead. It's all in the tug of war. Yeah, right.
Tug of war.
Right. Mm-hmm. I love watching the live stuff. So, and they're running today. You can see them on YouTube. It's great. Who was the most competitive? I have a guess as to who was the most competitive. I want to see if it matches who was actually the most competitive.
I would say.
Can I throw my guess out to you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to guess Robert Conrad.
He was hugely competitive, and he cheated. He even cheated. The bad boy. He did. He listened into our strategy and then tried to beat us. That was bad. But also, there were, I think most everybody had, you know, got involved because they had a competitive streak, and it was fun, you know, catching footballs or, you know, swimming, or there was real competition going on. It was great.
Oh, and they had Howard Cosell. I mean, it was like the best. You can watch. I was watching one of your relay races as you're like handing off to Scott Baio, which is great. But it's like you had a groin
there's
pole.
There's a competitive one.
Scott Baio?
Yes, he was a competitive one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And he was on your team. He was on the ABC team.
Absolutely. And I loved him.
I love that Howard Cosell's like calling this thing. He's like, Kathy Lee Crosby, she's trying to run with a groin pull. It's like, actually pull your groin?
Mm-hmm.
This was crazy. You couldn't get away
because
with this.
Because we had today. Hurdles. We had hurdles, and I did it over the hurdles. Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing Olympic stuff. I mean, this is like, and how long did it take to shoot, like, one Battle of the Network Stars? Was this, like, an all-day thing? Was it over?
As I remember, it was 3 days, the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I could be wrong on that, but it was something like that.
How could you get TV stars together like that? I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, you could never do that today.
You'd pay them.
Did you get paid well?
Of course.
Yes.
That's
what I want to hear. Oh, that's amazing. I love it. And of course, one of the greatest reality shows. That's incredible. With John Davidson and Fran Tarkenton. And talk about athletes who get into the sport young. Tiger Woods.
Yep.
He was one of his first appearances? Uh-huh. Was he 5 years old?
Yep. Yeah, he was five and It's just the cutest little thing you ever saw.
Oh, that's amazing. Any chance like That's Incredible could come back? Like, and you guys did a reunion movie, reunion TV show not too long ago, but any chance you'll bring a little bit of that?
We've done three of them, actually.
Yeah, well, can you bring it
and
back?
It would be fun to do. And, well, if you do it with a lot of fun and tongue-in-cheek and, you know, things like that, I think it would be fun. But there's so much reality on yeah. television now that, you know, there are some pretty outrageous things on there. I mean, just look at The Housewives, any of those.
It's tame. What you guys did were tame compared to today. But it was like all these like cool things. It wasn't like there was real people, and then there was like a bunch of different things that came after that. But you guys were more like these like really like out there kind of like incredible stuff.
We were the first reality show ever on television. We were the first. Reality show as we know it today. And we did outrageous things. But we did also amazing things, like we had a surgery of a kid in China, and he had two faces, and they had a team of 26 doctors who, you know, gave up their time to half of the team removed the one face, and the other half rebuilt his remaining face so that he would not be considered a freak. He was from China. Amazing things like that. So it was a kind of an all-around wonderful thing. And for the three of us, you know, when there's chemistry you yeah. don't know. I did not want to do the show. I turned it down three or four times. They shot the pilot with somebody else. Mm. And they thought I was negotiating. I just thought it was the stupidest show I'd ever heard of. So I didn't want to do it. And then they made an offer I couldn't refuse. So yeah. that was that.
Well, you guys definitely had the chemistry, and like I said, Real People was on there, you know, on NBC. Did you give it to Sarah Purcell when you guys were doing Battle of the Network Stars? Did you, like, little...
I don't think she was on, or at least I don't remember her on it.
Okay.
I don't remember her.
I know you guys had some crossovers. I didn't know if, like, you were, like, running against her or something, you know, like, throw a baton at her or something like that, you know.
No.
All right. Hey, are you ready to talk about Wonder Woman?
I'm ready.
Oh, this... look, here it is. Martial arts, Montalban... and mules. This is the craziest thing ever. I love this thing. It's so wacky zany. What did you think? Did you even know the character when they approached you? Were you a comic book person? Did you read Wonder Woman?
No, I was not a comic book person, per se. But as a little girl growing up, you always knew Wonder Woman because she was the only female mm-hmm. at that time. So if you had to have a role model, who are you going to have? You know, Superman or Spider-Man? You wanted to have Wonder Woman. But it didn't have any at that time. You know, it was really basically one of my very, very first jobs and in the acting world, if you want to call it that. And so I was grateful to just have a job. I didn't think it is this, you know, iconic thing. I was just like, oh, my gosh, they're going to pay me and give me lunch. You know, that was the basic thing.
So it didn't hit you like the enormity of it?
It didn't hit me until, quite frankly, what happened after it aired. It aired, it still is today, the highest rated woman's television show ever on television to this day.
Yeah, the ratings were stellar.
49th share.
Unheard of.
So when that happened they got Warner Brothers owned it with ABC, and they got they got in a big fight. Warner Brothers wanted to do it James Bond, and ABC wanted to do it comic book, and I sided with Warner Brothers, of course, mm-hmm. and would have dyed my hair and done all that, but it was a big court battle, and finally. ABC won out. I don't know why or whatever, but and I just did not want to wear stars on my pants for a television series. It just didn't appeal to me. So the novelty was great, but I just didn't want to do the series.
Yeah. Now that's the interesting thing about this too, because you have like the Avengers M appeal at the time. So it's like you said, it's set firmly in this sort of super spy world. As you're going on. And I thought the interesting thing, too, is because people always look at this and go, it doesn't look like Wonder Woman. Because we think of Linda Carter. We think of, you know, the comic book, the Super Friends and things like that.
Oh,
but
she should have had dark hair. I mean, it was just amazing. But they were doing it with the hope, and I think that's why it was co-owned by those two people, that Warner Brothers was holding out to make her more of a film character. And what happened was, it didn't do either. It didn't do real comic book, and it didn't do film either. So it missed the both. However, as a cult sort of fun thing, it's amazing. It's just fun to watch. It's absolutely hysterical to go back and watch.
Yeah, that's an amazing point you make, too, because it is trying to hit both targets. And right. I think that's why it missed. But the thing is, people don't realize is that in the late 60s, early 70s, and this script would have been developed around 72, 73, is that in the comic books, they had gone away from the traditional Wonder Woman look. She was doing the mod look. She was doing the pantsuits. And there's that iconic cover on issue 178 where she's like painted through the old picture. And it's like, here's the new Wonder Woman. And it's
right.
kind of you.
They were experimenting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of you. It's kind of that suit. And they did these. The great Denny O'Neill was writing it. So, did they talk to you about any of that? Like, we're kind of going for a mod look, a women's lib bend on it.
No, they didn't really. I mean, I was more in touch with the Warner Brothers people, the Warner Brothers team on this, and the ABC. So I don't know where that came in or where those talks or whatever happened. I was just glad, again, to have a job. So I was, like, thrilled.
Yeah.
And I think they knew I could do it physically. So.
Well, and that's the thing I want to talk about, too, is some of the stunt work in here is amazing. There's this stunt involving a phone booth, and I'm assuming it's a stunt woman that kind of swings up on an awning and the car just misses her.
No. I did a lot of that stuff.
Did you do that stunt?
In the cement thingamabob.
Yes. I was.
Yes.
with the multicolored mud coming down?
Yes.
Okay. Did you do the awning thing out of the phone booth?
I did not do all of the awning thing, but I did do it for the close-up. Yes, I did.
Oh, nice. Okay. It's a great stunt. I was going to ask you, like, if you were there when they were shooting the different things. So that's you right up on there, or part of it.
Oh, of course I had to be there.
Because you had the trapeze training, too, from Circus of the Stars.
But no, the Circus of the Stars didn't come till later.
Right. Yeah, that's true. But you were athletic, so.
Yeah, I was athletic and, you know. And,
that's
and
not you on the motorcycle,
fun.
Is it?
On the motorcycle, I think they took some close-ups, but not the craziness.
Okay.
You know?
Okay, but you did get to do some of the stunts. What are some of the... Okay, so let's talk about the mud scene, because there's this... It's very cool. I mean, it's a crazy movie, but there's a scene where you're trapped, and, like, this mud starts coming down and closing in on you, and it's, like, all these multicolored... What was up with that?
I don't know. All I remember about that is the scene is going very well, except for the fact that they yell, cut, and the stuff is still coming down, and nobody's coming to come get me out. So I was stuck in that stupid thing until someone finally realized that, you know, I was going to die.
Did you actually get into the mud? Because, I mean, they cut
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Oh, yes. And I was back with my back against the wall and pushing it with my legs, and Yeah,
because you have to bust out of it. That's the thing. Like, you kick your way out of it, and it busts out. So, okay. Oh, that's great. I have to ask, what's up with all the donkeys in the film?
I don't know.
Okay. Did you find it strange that the government's plan was to, like, find the villain was to put a tracer on a donkey and then there was all these mules everywhere?
To be honest with you, I can't really take a snake coming to drink milk and a donkey having a listening device. I just never really took it as a piece of... a serious film story.
Fair enough. But yeah.
Nope.
Great scene with the snake,
I
too.
For
yeah.
What it was.
It's the bellman. Yeah. He comes up, I guess. Okay. And this is very cool because we always say it's like we want. Why doesn't the superhero tell the person they're working with who they are? That's what I love about this. Steve Trevor knows who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're Wonder Woman. You walk in, check into the hotel, and everyone's like, that's Wonder Woman. of course. They do that in the latest James Bond films. He's like, why would I have a secret in it? Everybody knows I'm James Bond. I love that.
Well, but you see, it was going different. It was going towards the James Bond thing. That's what Warner Brothers wanted. So I'm sure at the script, they both fought it out over each, you know, scene and said, no, we want this, we want more of that. And I certainly wasn't privy to any of that at the time.
Okay. Yeah, it's a great take on it. I really love that aspect of it.
It's great, humorous fun.
Ricardo Montalban, what was it like to work with? I mean, that had to just be, like, your scenes with him just had to be electric. Total, and the chemistry is amazing.
Professional. Total professional. That's what I would say. A gentleman and a total professional.
Favorite Ricardo Montalban moment?
Oh, my gosh.
Because he's awesome.
His style. It was just his style. He always had style. The way he walked, the way he stood, he just had style. I can't explain it. It's just, you know, he's always perfectly dressed, and he wasn't your typical guy in jeans and a T-shirt, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well, in the end, you know, he just kind of looks at you and goes, Wonder Woman, I love you. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah, awesome. That's a great tagline, right?
It's perfect. Yeah. What else would he say? He's Ricardo Montalban, right?
And I get more people who call me Wonder Woman. Hi, Wonder Woman, or Wonder Woman. In fact, a great story is I went to this, it was kind of a seminar, I guess you'd call it, and it was actually a business seminar, and someone there had a three-year-old. Her name was Neva. And Neva had just seen the old Wonder Woman movie. Now, why? I don't know, right? And so when she saw me, she goes to her mother and says, please, please, please introduce me, introduce me. So Neva and I became fast friends.
Oh.
And we had tea parties, and then she whispers in my ear, she says, can I be Wonder Woman's little sister? Is
wow.
that the cutest?
Wow. So that's got to make you feel, that has to make you feel amazing.
Okay, so it does, you know, it has that effect on little girls too, and I remember you need something to look up to, and I'm glad of it if it helps some people to you know, experience their own greatness as a woman. Perfect.
Yeah, it's a great character, and it's if they just gone one direction or the other, it would have been cool. Do you still have the costume?
I have pieces, but I can't tell you because I'm sure they'll get. I kept a few little bitties.
What did you keep?
Sure.
What did you keep?
I don't think I should tell you, but let's just say.
Did you keep the bracelets?
If one were to wear something, you could imagine what one would wear.
You got the bracelets. You got the bracelets. Did you keep the lasso?
I can't either confirm nor deny that accusation.
Fair enough. I just the fact that you have parts of it is very, very cool. Why do you think? Well, let me ask you about the 1975 version with Linda Carter. Were you offered that role initially?
Which one? The series?
The series that eventually went to Linda Carter.
Yeah, no, it's that was when the suit came before that. When Warner Brothers and after our movie got that huge rating, that's when ABC and Warner Brothers sued each other for to get sole ownership because they knew they had a winner. But Warner Brothers wanted to do it James Bond, and ABC wanted to do it more comic book.
Okay.
And I sided with James Bond, with Warner Brothers.
Okay.
And so finally when the suit won out, I just said, no way, I cannot do it.
Okay. But they had initially talked to you about the series?
Yes, they had.
Okay. Thoughts on Linda Carter? Thoughts on where they did take the character?
If I told you I never saw it, it would be terribly bad. I guess it was just, you know.
So you guys never met, like, anywhere? Like, did you ever meet Linda Carter?
No, I have met her, yes. Of course I've met her. But it was just one of those things that it's a time in your life when it's a once-in-a-lifetime memory. And it was, when it's your first job and you're so grateful and you're so appreciative to just be there, and you know, and then when you see that people loved the show so much, you know, 49 share, imagine if people got a 49 share now.
You can't even get near that.
No. And so it was a beautiful a beautiful memory, and I think I just wanted to keep that memory for myself.
Fair enough. That's a great thought. Next year is the 75th anniversary of Wonder Woman. To what do you attribute
Get
the longevity
out.
Of the character? Yeah, 75. That's crazy.
I want to do something. Somebody asked me to do something for the 75th anniversary. I would love that.
Could you imagine if we got like you, Linda Carter, Gal Gadot, Shannon Farnan, all of you guys together and had like a big old Wonder Woman fest?
I think they should have what do you call that? At Comic-Con, they should have something.
Wonder Woman celebration.
Something. I don't know. Yeah.
Wonder Woman
I
celebration.
Don't know.
It would be great.
Whatever.
What do you attribute the longevity of the character? What's so important about Wonder Woman? Why has she lasted so long and has just been iconic?
It's sort of like Kleenex. It's the first name. It's the first one of its kind. So the name was very catchy, and it was the first. And it was the only woman. So 50% of the population is only familiar with one thing. It sticks in your mind, no matter when you hear it first, Wonder Woman. And I think everybody identifies, females in particular, identify with wanting to be a Wonder Woman.
Yeah, and I think it's amazing, too, how she's changed with the times. And certainly you are a product of your era in that, and it typifies it. It's a fun watch. Hey, let's talk about what you've got going on now. We mentioned earlier you're the founder and CEO of CLC Entertainment Studios. What can you tell us about CLC?
It is the first ever studio in Hollywood that is based on principled cooperative capitalism, which simply means that for the first time in history, there will be integrity, open books, total transparency. Nobody's done it. I don't understand why.
That's unique in Hollywood.
I wanted to really change the business model in Hollywood and remind everybody that it's possible to make money, to be successful, and be honest. There's no reason why we have to cheat the very people that we rely on for our business. For instance, writers and directors and producers and editors, any above-the-line people that have a percent of a project, they don't get, oftentimes, unless they're really big and powerful, they don't get what's due them. And there's no reason to cheat. There's plenty of enough for all. So we started that and just a year ago, and we already have investors, we have stockholders, we've issued stock, we have a huge advisory board, and people that are really wanting to see this go and are lending their name to it. And our new partner, our strategic partner, we should call him, is the founder, one of the founders of Priceline.com. Name is Jeff Hoffman. So he just came on board, and things have really started to speed up with amazing speed. We have our first television series that CBS is really, really interested in. And
what's the name? What's it called?
It's called Oh Yes You Can.
Is this the makeover show? The Extreme Makeover show?
No. No. It's Oh Yes You Can. And it is my two co-producers were the executive producers on Survivor and Extreme Home Makeover.
Okay.
But this is something I wrote and did and we're progressing amazingly well. And we have a novel and a feature film based on that novel, all of which I've written, three television series, a group of franchise restaurants.
Oh, wow.
Called My Muse Cafe, which we have the builder for. We have everything in place. And we have the first ever 7-star diamond resort on land we already own in St. Croix.
You're involved in everything.
Well, all studios are broad-based in their income. And so Universal, they have, hotels, or they have, parks, theme parks, or whatever. So you have to be broad-based in this world and to be able to get a diversified income stream. But anyway, for me, it's just a chance to give back, hopefully, to the industry and to be able to open up the entertainment industry to people all over the world. And that's why I have we're having a secret launch of our first ever virtual online studio, which will be a it will be a, the life giving support to the brick and mortar studio. So this is the first thing that we're launching, secret launch, and it's called Secret Door to Hollywood. So.
Oh, wow. You've got a hand in everything here. And you mentioned teaming up with the guy from Priceline. Is this any chance we'll see a Kathy Lee Crosby, William Shatner Battle of the Network Stars reunion?
Oh, I don't think so.
You working with
the
Shat?
I mean, but I don't. I am so busy. I've never been so busy. And I want, of course, continue being in front of the camera. But this is something that my chance, my opportunity after this incredible time that I've had with a business that I love, I would like to give back and hopefully strengthen it and strengthen it the size of its audience and viewers. And I think the only way to do that is to open up the control and give people access to be able to learn how to come into the industry and not just the typical way. So we've kind of figured out a very proprietary involves proprietary software to be able to do this. So it's quite an a huge project, and it's very, very exciting.
Wow, Truth and Justice. Will we expect anything else from Wonder Woman? Of course not. How can we find out about all this stuff? Website, Facebook page, Twitter? Where are you?
Yeah, the official launch isn't up, but you can go to Secret Door to Hollywood and Secret Door, the number 2, Hollywood, and you can see it.
Okay, and you have, and your own website?
And my own website we're in the process of redoing, actually.
Okay.
Obviously with all this going on. But CLC Entertainment Studios will be up probably in the next 90 days.
Okay, and are you on Twitter or social network or anything like that?
I am on Twitter, and I am on at Kathy Lee Crosby, and just about to go next week on Instagram. Facebook search for Kathy Lee Crosby. You'll see my magazine covers and stuff like that. And there are a few fan pages.
Okay. Send me all the links. We'll get them on. They'll be in the
all
show
the
notes.
Links.
We'll get them on. Kathy Lee Crosby's everywhere. Of course she is. She's Wonder Woman. Why would we expect anything else? Look, we're looking forward to all these great projects. I'm glad Warner Archive released an official DVD of Wonder Woman. This is amazing. I can go back and watch. I've got it right in front of me here. I've watched it.
Well, I'll tell you something that is really exciting. It happened last year, last December. And I was driving by the Warner Brothers lot. And you know they have that big beige wall that goes all the way around the studio, right?
Yes.
And they had a in life-size, huge, what, 50 feet tall or whatever, they had all the comic book characters that they own. And right there was Wonder Woman with blonde hair.
Oh, nice. Perfect.
So,
perfect. I said you're part of the history now.
Yeah,
you're part of this this three-quarter century legacy.
It is a legacy, and I'm the first that did the first movie.
Yes,
you know, so it's great, and I applaud Warner Brothers for supporting it, continuing to support it, and anyway, I look forward to having the opportunity to do something special, because I would love to meet some of those fans out there that love comic books. It would be great.
Well, a buddy of mine runs a comic book convention up in Connecticut. You'd be a great guest for that. We would certainly love to see you at any of these comic book conventions. 75th anniversary of Wonder Woman coming up. That'd be great if you guys could all get together. Maybe CLC could do a little something with that.
That would be wonderful. And I'm happy to just come myself, too. Doesn't matter. And, hey, who knows? You might see a bracelet or two.
Oh, see, I knew it. I knew it.
Oh, no, I'm not saying anything. I'm not confirming or denying my...
Yes, she will bring her bracelets with her. Of course you will, and she will wear them, yes. I love my DVD. I love Kathy Lee Crosby. Princess Diana, 70s Super Spy Style is what it says. Check it out. Check out the DVD. Kathy Lee, thank you so much for joining me today on Comic Book Central.
Thank you, Joe. It was really great, and my best, and just much love to all the comic book fans out there. Thank you so much, and... look forward to meeting you soon.
There's a very cool comic book out right now. You got to check it out online. It's in chapters, or you get the complete story in print at your local comics shop or online retailer. It's called Wonder Woman 77. As the title suggests, this comic book is set during Linda Carter's run, and they did get the likeness rights for the series, so it's Linda Carter's image there. But there is a part in the story where a decidedly different Wonder Woman appears very briefly, one that looks an awful lot like the 1974 version. They even got the TV movie title font right. It's amazing. You got to check it out. Wonder Woman 74 lives in the comic books. Also, there's a fantastic book I want to point you to. It's called Wonder Woman, The Complete History. And it's written by the late comic book historian Les Daniels. Les wrote books on Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman. Wrote books on DC Comics, Marvel Comics. There's a bunch of them out there. These are indispensable items for a library and absolute required reading when you're putting a show together like this and doing some homework. So be sure to pick those up. They're great books from an incredible author. Talk about incredible. How about That's Incredibles? Kathy Lee Crosby joining us today. That was fun. Kathy Lee made history as Wonder Woman. You can see her make history as Wonder Woman by ordering the DVD of the movie from Warner Archive. I've said it before. I'll say it again. The folks at Warner Archive are keeping these shows alive with these DVD releases. There's a bunch of them out there. You've got Kathy Lee's Wonder Woman, Shannon Farnan's Wonder Woman from Super Friends. I chatted with Shannon on episode 43 of Comic Book Central. You can go back and check that out. They've got the Shazam series. We talked about that on episode 9 and 10, Comic Book Central, with Jackson Bostwick, Captain Marvel, Michael Gray, Billy Batson. Sam Jones, The Spirit. That DVD's out there. They've got that. You can hear from Sam on episode 59. Of course, we just wrapped up The Legends of the Superheroes, episode 72 through 75 of Comic Book Central. Check it out. And that DVD is on the Warner Archive as well. It's wbshop.com. Check it out. It's fun to scroll through the catalog, see some of these movies and TV shows we may have forgotten about. It's fun. It's fun to go through it. Check it out. After you're done ordering that DVD, the Wonder Woman DVD, you can follow Kathy Lee herself on Twitter. It's at Kathy Lee Crosby. You can head over to Facebook, facebook.com/KathyLee.Crosby. I'm going to put those links up in the show, her Instagram link, a few other ones. You can also check out Kathy Lee's book, Let the Magic Begin, Opening the Door to a Whole New World of Possibility. I'll put that link up in the show notes as well. For all these links, go to the website. It's comicbookcentral.net. You can get all the episodes of Comic Book Central as well. You can binge listen to the show, catch up on those past episodes we just mentioned. Subscribe to the show on iTunes. If you're there, leave a review. I really appreciate everybody doing that. You can like Comic Book Central on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Comic Book Central Network. Don't forget the network. And hashtag share the lair. You guys are doing that. I really appreciate it. We're reaching a bunch of people now. 100 countries. Thank you again. It's Twitter at comicbookctrl. You can also email me. I want to hear from you. joe@comicbookcentral.net. All right, kids. Time for me to head out of here. I'm going to take a few days, maybe rest up on Paradise Island. Hit the beach. It sounds pretty nice, but it's only going to be a few days of relaxing because I got to get back here to the lair because next week on Comic Book Central, there are going to be so many superheroes and supervillains in the lair. I have no idea how I'm going to make room for all of them, but I'm going to try. That's because my special guest is, speaking to Super Friends, he's the voice behind Zan and Gleek from the Super Friends. He's Bruce Banner from the Hulk. Dr. Octopus from Spider-Man and his amazing friends. He's the Riddler. He's Lex Luthor. He's Plastic Man. He's the man of a thousand voices. Michael Bell will join me next week. If you're really good boys and girls, you might just hear a few of those voices on the show. That's coming up next week. Until then, have a wonderful week. Keep reading those comics. Thanks for joining me here in the lair. Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. This podcast is intended for entertainment and education purposes only. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivations 3.0 Unported License. All of the content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of the respective holders.
Little Joni Prather, she with the damaged hand, the severed tendon between the thumb and the index finger, in there pulling and Kathy Lee Crosby, the team captain. They're almost there. It is over. ABC has won the Battle of the Network Stars.
Howard, that's incredible. I have to say, the greatest team I have ever been involved with. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Gotcha. Hey, gotcha. Amateur, I just want to show. This is the bandaged hand. In here is the severed tendon, and yet she went and she dug.
This represents our team.
This means